about it. So I'm going to start this up and do my intro. Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Dominic, and this is the Let's Talk About It podcast. This is the podcast that aims to break down walls between the consumers and the passionate, hardworking people that aim to please them. I'm here with Javi Montaño, Vara Winery, executive chef. He's a old school cat who's been doing some amazing stuff. He's actually the brother of one of the mentors of mine who brought me into restaurants and started teaching me the ways. And I'm very excited to have this interview with you. So welcome, Javi.
Hey, equally excited. What's going on?
Not much, man. Why don't you just give everybody a little background about yourself, you know, and I know that you've kind of been traveled and been around, you know, so why don't you guys let right. everybody know?
Well, my wife and I are formerly owners of Malagueño's Latin American food truck, and we're on with the Vara brand right now. So we both work for Vara Winery, and they're in town, and they're on 315 Alameda Boulevard, and so you go there, you can get great wines, good food, and a great atmosphere.
Awesome, man.
You know, yeah.
So, heck yeah. Your background mostly Spanish, or that's your passion? Is Spanish cuisine?
Yeah, that's my wheelhouse right there. Kind of get to what the Spanish didn't do here in the state, and you know, bring some of that glory back. A little bit, you know, and mix it up with some Latin flavors and some local flavors.
Right.
You know, and use as much local and organic as you can.
Right.
You know, because it's easy and it's hard at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not that big that I can get a delivery, you know, with a selected produce or
right.
that kind of stuff. So I end up just shopping and going for, you know, the highest quality ingredients I can get.
Over awesome.
There. Yeah. You know, it's mostly Spanish with a little Latin flair,
right?
You know, and even maybe in some Japanese fusion.
Absolutely, yeah, man.
Yeah.
So explain to everybody like how, like, what did the Spanish bring to the cuisine? You got French. It ties in with like Japanese, French, and Spanish. You know, are like some of the top three cuisines. You know.
Yeah. Well, when they came to the state, they had traveled all the way from South America, Central America, and Mexico, and ended up in New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, and California, is where all the last missions stopped. So at that point, they cultivated, you know, chocolate and, you know, different spices that were already brought over from Europe, you know, and then spices that they brought from Mexico and, you know, some chilies,
mm-hmm.
you know. We're also an indigenous product here. Chilean corn was here and in Mexico. So our cuisine and New Mexican cuisine is like a fusion of that.
Yeah.
Corn tortillas, corn, chili,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I'm taking the kind of purest point of the Spanish cuisine and the things that we won't get every day, imported chorizo and manchego cheese and, you know, Marcona almonds, and using them as staples to elevate our food over there at Vara.
Awesome. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I was telling Rodney and Valerie earlier that, like, your flavors and your level is above a lot of people out here. You know, I mean, as far as, like, thanks. So I'm saying, like, you pretty much, like, it's above people's heads or realm of even understanding sometimes. Unlike me or whatever, where I know about what you're talking about, I can stick with you. But
right.
Some people, they haven't experienced that or don't know why it's important and
yeah,
what they're actually, like, looking for.
Right. Well, you're looking for real restaurant quality, like Michelin star restaurant quality taste. You know, where you can hit all kinds of different things you know, with a few bites. You can hit sour, salty, hot, you mm-hmm. know, bitter, sweet.
Right.
You know, and if you can get all that in a dish or a couple of bites, then, you know, you're already elevating their palate to something new.
Absolutely.
Right? And agreed, you know, but I think, you know, between you and I, man, we're here to kind of elevate things.
That's exactly.
Get people to, you know, understand that, you know, we're not just a two-horse town in mm-hmm. Albuquerque. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's not just all green chili and fries,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, little by little, we can have people taste different flavors and talk them through things so they understand what they're having.
Absolutely. Why they're paying this opposed to like why isn't this just a dollar for this?
You know what?
Like you pay for what you get.
Hey, honestly, there's no food snobbery here, but you know there's too many chains in Albuquerque.
Absolutely.
So you know, and in the private sector, you know, you're always battling, you know, the chain restaurants. So one of the most fielded questions when my wife and I were running Mulligan's was, you know, I'll have the burrito, you know, and this is usually when we were in front of a brewery, you know, and then they would ask like, what does that come with? You know, and it would be like they're looking for a combo meal.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd be like, comes with love. You know, and then you can get a side of fries. Or, you know, like,
absolutely.
You know, or a salad or something smaller that we have.
Yeah.
But some folks are so conditioned to getting a combo meal and this huge package of processed food.
Right.
You know, for $6 or $7, that they think that everything's a possible combo meal.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, if I just say the right thing, what can I get the extra stuff with that?
Yeah.
Can I get the most stuff? And some people care what they're putting in their bodies, and some people don't. You know, but anything that I touch is whole food.
Yeah,
it's a whole food broken down into, you know. Other parts. It's like
right.
A primary cut going into a secondary cut.
Right.
You know, it's a whole food, whether it's chicken or fish or beef or whatever it is that we're fabricating. You know, it's a whole food and it goes into a dish with a thought, and then it becomes an entity in itself, a dish.
Yeah.
You know, and know that when we're doing that dish, that it's the best thing you can put in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And there's zero processed foods there.
Absolutely. The process it goes through is through your hands. You know?
I
think people, like, when you hear processed food, like, there's a lot of, like, that can be associated with a lot of things, you know. But I think the most important thing to pull out from that is that when it's processed, that means it's going through a lot of different hands, which there are a lot of points of where something could have gone wrong.
Thank you.
You know, and right. So by doing it yourself, being, you know, coming straight to the butcher,
right.
You know, and just getting exactly what you want. Like, you limit all that, and you just can be assured of what you're getting, your knowledge on what product you're selling.
Right.
You know?
And with that, I've designed things on that little trailer of ours to be able to do it as one man over there. And, you know, our menu is only 7 items long, you know, and I keep it that way so that I can pull that off in the busiest times or the slowest of times, you
right.
know, and pull it off and taste every single thing and finish with those finishing touches, whether it's a vinegar or a lime or lemon juice or an acid or a finishing oil, an extra virgin olive oil, you know, which is what I use a lot, you know, and a little bit of sea salt so that people don't even know it, but they have that finishing restaurant quality to whatever I'm doing. You know, and not have to ask for salt or pepper. You know, and
yeah.
It's there.
Giving them the perfect bite.
Yeah, with balance and thoughtful finish.
Yeah. Speaking of the perfect bite, one of the ideas that I had that I wanted to do at the sushi bar was actually to create a roll that you taste and it almost creates like a symphony.
Nice.
You know, first bite is sour or salty, you know, and then prepares your mouth for the next bite.
Right.
You know, and so it's just a progression.
Oh,
you know, but
I can't wait to taste that roll.
Yeah, I haven't come up with it yet.
What are you going to call the roll? just roll with it.
Just roll with
just
it.
Just roll
oh,
with it.
Oh,
in succession.
Hey, here we go. What? I love it. Going back to, I remember I had, when you had started your food truck and I had come out, seen you a couple times, you know, all the flavors that I had on there were amazing. But yeah, you had the lomo saltado and I was just shooting you out ideas, you know, because you were talking about people wanting a burrito.
Right.
And I was like, how about a lomo saltado burrito, you know, or something like that, just anything. You know, to wrap it up, I know people do like kimchi fried rice burritos and stuff like that.
Right.
But the burrito is such a great vessel, you know, to, you know, it's recognizable. Yeah. But, you know, so it's almost like a present, you know. Yeah. You can stuff anything in there and you get that perfect bite.
My the burrito that we used to sell on Malagueña's was so that I didn't have to sell any tacos. Nice. I was like, I'm not going to sell tacos when we got Dominic in town.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be the other guy doing a taco on a, you know, on a crappy tortilla.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've been my influence a couple times. I've always loved to come kick ideas with you because you're already there. You're already at a level, man. You know, like I get to riffing with you is you know, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, there's only a couple of other chefs in town that I can feel, you know, like is on that level with taste and ideas and you know, I think the common denominator is the kind of you know, Jap file.
Yeah.
You know, thing that we both share.
I mean, oh, absolutely.
Spent almost 17 years in California. You know, got a taste for it. I got a bug for it, you know.
Absolutely.
Not just everything Asian, but more Japanese,
yeah.
You know, and but more like izakaya fusion Japanese, not traditional. I wouldn't even begin to try and mess with that.
What would you say is like, because I've been wanting to do a Japanese New Mexican menu, you know, like
yeah.
New Mexican flavors presented in a Japanese way.
Oh.
And, you know, right off the bat, everybody thinks, you know, just throw green chili and teriyaki sauce, and there you go. No.
Ooh,
yeah. No. So, how would you explain, like, what Japanese cuisine is and like, how it's important to your style? It's brought to your style?
What I revere about the Japanese culture is that they spend their lives trying to perfect something.
Yeah.
And then they dedicate themselves to a craft or a thing that they will be okay with knowing that their whole life is going to be striving for perfection over it.
Mm-hmm.
If they say, if I can live 60 years or 70 years and I can become close to perfect, which may be an obtainable thing and maybe not, you know, but they're still going to dedicate their whole lives to that craft,
mm-hmm.
whether it's knife making, whether it's a sushi guy, whether it's a guy in tech, whether it's a guy, you know, who just makes brushes for your, you know, household, it's anything, they are still okay with creating, trying to be perfect for that thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's what I revere about the culture. And how that translates to food, to me, is kind of the purest aspect of
yeah.
it, you know, but then it's kind of cool how the Japanese have spread out too with izakaya, which just means like a you can do ramen and sushi and chirashi, you know, all together, you know.
It's pretty much like a diner would be, you know. It's a lot similar that you have those home style things that
yeah, and the Japanese got that from us in
yeah.
the 40s and the 50s,
mm-hmm.
you know, during the war when they were being ostracized because of their position in the war and, you know, but kind of took on some American culture and that
yeah.
was you know, baseball and diners, you mm-hmm. know, and kind of, you know, kind of groomed the food a little bit to get in there, you know, with kantatsu
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you know, shakes.
Right.
You know, kind of doing that diner American vibe. Blending in is what they were doing.
Absolutely.
And I totally get it. Now, you know, I'd like to blend in with a little bit of Japanese, you know, cuisine.
Right.
Which means, you know, I can pick flavors that I like or things that I like and try to get close to what I would get if I was there.
Right.
You know, if they were doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know. One of our favorite things at home is furikake chicken.
Yeah.
You know, which is more like a Hawaiian thing, but mm-hmm. it's got that Japanese influence.
Absolutely.
You know, one Japanese influence that I can pull from too is Peruvian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
So I trained under some Peruvian guys in San Francisco at Limon
mm-hmm.
for just over a year and, you know, learned the art of ceviche.
Yeah.
And which was, it was a native thing in Peru, but Peru's so cool because they're influenced by the Chinese, the Japanese, the French, the Spanish, the Africans, you know, mm-hmm. The Portuguese, and with their native indigenous food, and then, you know, you would have something like tirarito, which is sashimi-grade fish, you know,
right.
in a circle, in a very symmetrical plating way, with a couple of sauces.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe some crunch factor or something mm-hmm. like that. That's the direct Japanese influence onto Peruvian cuisine, so
right.
that's cool because it's Japanese and Latin.
Now, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I would love that. I would love to have that as part of my wheelhouse.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was I also learned under a couple Peruvian or worked alongside some Peruvian chefs in L.A., and I just fell in love with that cuisine, that green sauce, the ají, you know, and then using stuff like rocoto. I know Chef Elvis Bencomo, he started bringing some of those Peruvian flavors out here as well and introducing them. And now there's a Peruvian restaurant over here on Central. What is it called?
It's not the pollos
y papas. Yeah. Oh, just chicken and potatoes.
You know what? You can never really go wrong with chicken potatoes.
That's it.
You know, and for the Latin community, it's like you know, rice and chicken.
Yeah.
You know, arroz con pollo was a derivative from paella from the Spanish. You know, and every country that the Spanish influenced, you know, good or bad, has a version of that,
right?
You know, and it's like you know, black beans, saffron rice, and chicken, and some sauces. You know, and as you get up closer towards Mexico, that's when the chili factor comes in.
Right.
You know, so everybody's got a version of it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think right now, like I really want to take a trip out to Peru for sure, but just South America in general, Brazil, and really get down there to some of those ingredients, because I know that like. That Amazon area, there's like these fruits and vegetables and stuff that are like it's like outer space.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah, space. And all these different flavors that have been yet to be discovered, you know.
And the seafood too, because of their proximity south of the equator on the Atlantic side. I was there maybe 9 years ago. It was in Rio, and you know, cruising around through the markets and tasting everything, and there was stuff I've never heard of. And seafood I've never seen, and it was just a huge eye-opener, you know, and it was a huge eye-opener of how self-sufficient Brazil was on itself because of how much of the border of South America it is, you know, and how big it is, and how many different climates they have, you know, the northern part of Brazil, you know, closer towards the equator, you know, what they call Bahia, is like a... got more of a African influence, you know, with these little shrimp bites and a lot of starches, and you know, the whole place is not afraid of yuca, you know, like, or a couple of starches on the same plate, you know, and they're fine with it. They eat everything and have transformed their cuisine into being its own.
Wow.
You know, it's totally, you know, and I would love to take another trip down there, and you know, Peru would probably be the first, and then probably Santiago, Chile, and then probably Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
You know, kind of get back to the original influences, the Spanish and the Portuguese.
Absolutely.
You know, and, absolutely. And see what they did when they conquered and influenced, you know, the food. I mean, they brought over the pig.
Yeah.
You know, they brought over some spices right over there. They also brought over disease, you know.
But, he points to himself.
You know, it's good and bad. It's good and bad. And if you know of your Spanish heritage, then you know and they brought religion, which is good, you know. But, you know, they also did some bad stuff. So, you know, but the translation is always through food with me.
Yeah.
You know, and having to be able to pull from Brazil, South American ingredients, Central American ingredients, Mexican ingredients, you know, and fuse that with base Spanish flavors.
Absolutely.
You know, to give people with, you know, something they've never had.
Yeah.
You know, like the ceviche. You know. If you and I can elevate some food with a kind of a Japanese style, the thing that's missing is the fish in the diet. And people think that since we're here in New Mexico that, you know, you can't get good fish, or fish is a sandwich, you know, at the fast food place.
Right.
You know, it's always fried and it's looks like a patty and it's in here.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one thing I think... you know, well, fish tacos would probably be the best vessel.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And mine weighs ceviche, you know. So I spend a lot of time educating people in the sense like, no, we can still do pretty good seafood out here, you know. our seafood purveyor above sea level. Yep. You know, they get their stuff flown in from San Francisco and San Diego,
mm-hmm.
where you were just at,
yeah.
again,
mm-hmm.
you know, into the Santa Fe airport.
Yeah.
You know, and and unless you live on the seaside, don't fool yourself. Most seafood across the world is flash frozen.
Yeah.
If you're in a boat 4 days out, you have to freeze it to get back in. And then after that, if they want to transport it somewhere, they got to freeze it, and it's going to stay frozen until it gets to its destination.
Right.
You know, so some of the seafood that I'm using here was maybe a day longer out of the water than mm-hmm. when I was in California.
Right.
You know, which is pretty good for here.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
I mean, I've even heard of some chefs in Japan now, they treat like tuna like beef, you know, in the sense of like you let it age. You got to let those muscles rest and some of that blood to settle, you know, for you to actually get that pure flavor. You
yeah.
know? Everybody thinks like straight out the boat and just start, you know, just bite right. into the fish. Ah. No. You know, but you let it rest, let all kind of that blood settle out or whatever, and then you get just that pure flavor of the fish itself.
Well, the Japanese are masters with the tuna.
Just oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just like some with beef, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the aging process, they can even, you know, they can age the heart.
Yeah.
You know, they can age a belly and then do shavings,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so there's so many different things that you can do.
Right.
Is the tuna to the Japanese is just as versatile as the as beef to
right.
Americans. Like,
I think what's, I notice a lot in New Mexico is like New Mexicans. Like when I'm in San Diego and you go by the beach or whatever, you smell that fishy ocean flavor,
yeah.
you know, but you kind of love it.
Yeah.
You know, like I've always loved it, you know, ever since seafood enchiladas at Moreau's.
What?
At Moreau's.
Like shrimp and crab or something?
Yeah. But that was like my first introduction to like actual like
creamy green chili
sauce.
Yeah,
the creamy green chili sauce. Yeah, don't tell their secret.
Oh, yeah.
your brother Sean, hey, right?
Yeah. Well, Sean, they probably still sell it.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So how much of a secret is it, dude? You know, they'd be like, 40 years of generations of kids. Listen, if that was the thing that influenced you enough to get out to the ocean
mm-hmm.
to try new stuff and a catalyst there with him, you know, with he being your mentor for a minute, and
yeah.
you know, and Miguel and Kathy, same here, man. That's
yeah.
another common denominator that we had.
Absolutely.
You know, they were there for me when I was a young, influential guy, and you know, and maybe part of the reason why I got out of there too and sought the ocean and other things, you know, different, bigger, and a wider array of cultures,
right.
in a bigger town.
Absolutely. And what I wanted to say about that was that the actual aroma of the fish or whatever, people like are turned off by that, and the smell and the funkiness of fish. Where I think it's beautiful. Yeah, I love it. Like you would crave the funk of a truffle or hilacoche or anything
right.
like that. Like, I feel like it has just that certain thing that draws you to it a little bit more and makes it interesting.
It does.
You know, I mean, obviously, like, yeah, there's bad seafood, and then you know, and then there's just the aroma of fish.
Right.
And some people are just turned off by that, which blows my mind sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
the original. Well, that originates from the oil of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the fish comes out of water,
yeah.
then it's like, you know, depending on how oily the fish is, if it's a small fish and it swims like this, or it's in tropical waters, or it's a tuna that swims in deep waters, you know, then it tells you how much oil is it going to have. The deeper the fish lives, the more fatty oils it has.
Right.
You know, and then the colder waters that it swims in, the more fatty oils that it has, because it needs that to exist.
Yeah.
Right over there. So people might have been turned off because, you know, at some point that oil is going to go rancid.
Yeah.
And, you know, smell fishy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right over there. But I agree with you in the state, you know,
mm-hmm.
people associate fishy way too quick.
Right.
With just fish in general.
Right.
You know, but so good for you.
No, absolutely.
So good for you. High in fatty omega-3 and 6 acids and monosaturated fats. Like, those are some of the best things you can fit in your body.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you have a chance to eat fish tacos or ceviche or something like that, do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because
you know, I carry around a bottle of fish sauce with me, man. I just put that on everything.
Hold on. we're doing a full 100% Wagyu beef dinner from...
Yep.
Lone Mountain Wagyu Beef at Vara, June 1st, Saturday. And, you know, we're capping it off at 30 seats. It's $145 a piece. You get the matched wines and five courses, you know, and there's seafood in at least two of the courses,
yeah.
You know, but matched with 100% Wagyu beef with all that marbling.
That's so locally sourced.
That's locally sourced. It's right across the Sandia Mountains in Yeah. New Mexico, you know.
Wagyu in New Mexico. We already have it here. We don't even need to go to Japan.
We already have it here, so that's how... That's the part that you and I play with, education.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so that's part of me. I want to be able to reach some people and say, you know, like, look, I can't afford that beef on the daily,
mm-hmm.
you know. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to go to the people that can afford that beef on the daily. I understand that they're going to sign up for this once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Right.
You know, to be able to taste that kind of beef, you know. And I'm also comboing it with one with octopus. That's got fish sauce,
yeah.
Roman fish sauce Ooh. Included in it with the tomatillos. Remember we talked
no,
about?
No, yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
The shaved tomatillos.
The shaved tomatillos macerated yep. in the Italian fish mm-hmm. sauce, which is not as fermented as the Vietnamese fish sauce.
Right.
You know, and the other ones with the smoked hamachi ceviche.
Yep.
With the yuzu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we talked about from Taolin, and so that course they're going to get wagyu beef and hamachi belly. The two highest omega 3 and 6 things you could possibly stick in your body,
right?
You know, together in the same course.
Yeah.
So it's not just that you're eating the finer cuts of two things, you know, coming together in a surf and turf course. It's that those things are super healthy for
yeah,
you
yeah.
too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we were taught as Americans, you know, don't eat that one over there in the supermarket. It's got too much fat. You're going to die. Now, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe if you eat all the fat, there's a possibility. The Japanese bred this breed of cow
mm-hmm.
to have super high health benefits and eat it in small increments.
Yeah.
You know, so that they could share, you know, and I think that, that's a barrier that it's hard to break here in America because, you know, I grew up, I'm all about the beef industry, and I'm all about a big old steak.
Yeah.
You know, but not with this breed.
Yeah.
Right over there. So it's like, you know, and if you wanted a 1 pound steak of this breed, it's going to cost you $300.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, but the health benefits alone,
mm-hmm.
and when you eat it in smaller portions.
Right.
Outrageous.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
sorry, I got my work phone going on
that's
over
all
here.
Good. Hey, what do you mean? It's your day off, and you're like, you know? Apologizing to me about your work phone going off.
There's no days off. There's no days off in this.
No.
We could go into that right there, you know, because the level that you're at, the level that I'm at, and the level that a lot of the chefs that have had on the show, like, this takes years of conditioning and yeah. going through a lot of
heartache, pain,
and you know, like luck of making it through those drunken nights where you were just trying to vent and just turn into all nighters, and somehow you made it to work the next day or survive
right.
the night.
Surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with like-minded people.
Yeah.
You know, that'll get it. You know, and just keep showing up because that's all you got to do to be able to soak it up. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think people understand like the labor of love of being a chef. I think it's glorified now in cooking shows and all that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's cool and that's great because it maybe elevates our profession in a little bit. But at the same time, I'm like, tell that kid to work for 20 years with a good attitude,
yeah.
you know, and for dirt
yeah.
in pay, you know, while a career waiter or server could be making more.
Right.
You know, in tips
mm-hmm.
alone, depending on where you're at,
yeah.
you know, and let's see how they're doing. Call me in 20.
Yeah.
you know,
exactly.
And we'll see where you're at if you're still rocking a good attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I fell in love with cooking at the age of 16,
mm-hmm.
you know, and figured out this is something I could do. It was like a surrogate family to me.
Right.
You know, I was a troubled kid here in the streets of Albuquerque and, you know, way too pretty for prison, you know? and, you know, so I was like, ooh, got to do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, you know, Monroe's played a high part in that. You know, a couple other local restaurants. And, you know, finally worked my way up to Scalo when I was, you know, in my 20s, and that was kind of like the mark.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was like, ooh, you're cooking at Scallo. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I was running the pasta station.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm all bad.
Right? I'm all bad, hey, watch, you know?
Yeah.
And
come check me out.
It's funny how ironic life is, too, because one of my first mentors, Tom White from Scallo, not the owner anymore, sold it many years ago, you know, is now a part of...
Of Vara.
Yeah,
oh,
and
wow.
A mentor at the same time, still.
Wow.
And it was just so cool and good to have coming back here from my travels, you know, mostly in California, but... You know, to come back and try to impact neighborhoods or communities with the food that I cook.
Yeah.
You know, and for the last 2 years prior to joining the Vara brand, you know, that was with the Malagueñas, you know, food truck, and we would do events and be at Marble Brewery, and you know the shtick when you know before you were located permanently in one spot,
right?
You know, you were taking. You know, the Los Tacos, wherever you could,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wherever I could. And
so,
it's a grind, man.
That's a hard hustle.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely, man.
When my wife was like, well, we can get out of that hustle, you know?
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. I was we could leave the truck just here.
Yeah.
We don't have to tow it all around, hitch in, unhitch.
Exactly. Yeah. We were like, you know what it's like. It's like carnies. You were just like bringing everything, throwing it in the back seat.
Oh,
truck,
yeah.
You know, paper towels, you got paper towels, you got plates, you got...
yeah, every day you got to have the checklist, yep.
People don't understand. It's like having a mobile restaurant go everywhere you go. So next time you're eating at a restaurant and you notice the cleaning supplies by the bathroom or whatever, you know, or you notice all the people, you know, doing what they're doing, the trucks and the trailers around town are doing all that in... a way smaller space.
Yeah.
And they're bringing all that, you know, everywhere they go so that they can meet the expectations of, you know, of a quality meal, you know, mobily.
At the end of the day, they're trying to make people happy and make themselves be remembered, you know. I was lucky enough to have created an impact with Dia de los Tacos first time around with the food truck,
yeah.
And where people actually remembered us and held on to us. And then when we came back out here, and I just post a Facebook, you know, saying that, hey, we're back in town or whatever, and the next thing you know, the lines just started forming, you know. And that's one of the things is, you know, like at the end of the day, like you'll never forget your grandmother's food. Like I'll never forget my grandmother's food. And the impact that it had on me. And that's the same thing that I'm trying to impact on other people, too.
As a chef, to know that you want it to be memorable, you know, and that's what's going to keep people coming back for your food is intuitive, you know. And at the same time, I think that, you know, impacting Albuquerque that way is a great thing. People remembered your name. It was your branding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the name's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember it, you know, and your spelling. You know, and I was like, okay, that's cheeky, and I'll remember it now.
Yeah,
because it was cheeky, because it wasn't boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and any tacos are hella good.
Yeah,
you know? So you know, top it off, and I'm like, yeah, totally. He's top taco in the town.
Yeah,
right.
Don't cover
get
you.
It twisted. Right, we don't want to hear some funky comments.
Orale, Sal Gomez.
Or Sal.
Sal, you gotta go and you gotta film Javi over here. Sal does. Sal does photography, fight photography, and also now food photography, too.
Ooh.
He came in here. I don't know if you saw online. He actually took some great photos of me and the crew over here. And I think he would be a great person to invite to your dinner just to get some photos of the dishes that you're going
to
create.
Come on over. Go to VaraWines.com and click on the thing and see if there's any available tickets. It cuts us off at a certain point. I think we were close to 20.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we want to be at 30.
Awesome.
Know? So we're super excited. Oh,
yeah.
Back to that. Like, I'm super excited. Like, the jet pile in me is like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I bought this super killer Japanese blue number 2 steel Kitatsuki slicer just for the Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then my boss, Xavier, is going to... he's having his guy make a little hibachi grill.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So the last course I'm envisioning like I'm slicing the beautiful Lone Mountain Wagyu A5.
Which smoke is, in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, which is the best cut of the entire cow. That's the, you know, that's the ribeye, 11 centimeters cut in, mm-hmm. is how they grade the marbling and the fattiness of it. So I'm slicing it, and I'm going to skewer it on a bamboo skewer, you know, and then just literally go over, step over a step and a half, and have my hibachi grill.
Nice.
With some local wood at about 300 and 320 degrees, not too high, because I don't want to lose too much fat.
Yeah.
You know, on a grill, and then when it's done, I put it on a plate and have one of the servers bring it over to the smoked hibachi yuzu ceviche that's waiting
beautiful.
For them.
Yeah.
And then some fried yuca, and put it on there. So now you're just gonna have. I can't wait.
Oh yeah, man. I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you haven't bought tickets, go. Where can they get tickets?
Yeah, at varawines.com. They'll have a link to it. To Wagyu and wine. Oh, and Doug and the wine pairings of the existing wines that I had.
Yeah.
Already, you know, if you haven't had those wines, you got to try them.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all Spanish-based wines. Cava, Brut Reserva, Albariño, which is a thing that comes from Galicia,
yeah.
Spain, which is where my aunt, who does our genealogy, says that you know, she's got us all the way back to Galicia, Spain.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, Tempranillos, Garnachas, some blended Spanish wines, grapes coming from Spain here in California. It's a 1-2 punch and a trifecta at the same time. Come over, you get the beautiful space.
Yeah.
You get the wines, and then you get the food now.
Oh, man.
Because we're part of the food program.
Yeah. And it sounds like an incredible starting point, and I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes from here.
Wow.
You know?
Well, you got to get over, man.
Yeah, I know.
If we get the same day off, what are we going to do? You know?
I'm gonna have to get the crew to hold it down for a night, and I'm going to have to go roll over there.
That's
you
what
know?
I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you better
absolutely.
Start talking to somebody. Come over and get some grub. Bring somebody, and you know, it doesn't have to be for all night.
Oh, absolutely. You know? No, for sure.
Hour,
man.
Hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I could definitely pull that.
Nice.
Oh, I'm very happy to be in the same town as you, man, and just love what you're doing, and love
I'm
the
inspiration. Glad you came back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I met, you know, we...
We had a running bet, but yeah. It's cool, you know?
What was it, about, it's almost 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
When I left it back in 2017, yeah, came back, I said I wanted to buy my house, got my house, I was working at the Hyatt Tamaya.
Yeah.
And as soon as I bought the house, you know, I was looking, I was telling you I was going to get the food truck going.
Right.
At that point, I had a different concept that I wanted to run. And then, luck be have it, I got a call from San Diego to go open up that restaurant. And
that looked super cool.
Yeah, and it ended up, you know, I just kind of took full advantage of it and turned it into...
Flew to Japan.
Yeah.
And, like, got to hang out with, you know, and get, like, the real feel, man. All the stuff that... All the pictures and all the stories and the stuff that you've told me, as little as it was.
Right.
I'm super jelly.
Oh, man. You should be. Like, you should be. Well, I actually feel the same about the trip that you just took to Spain recently. And I think we share the same experience from our trips, that when I went out there and I tried the food and stuff like that, I said the same thing to myself that you told me that you said was, we're right there.
Yeah.
We have the same flavors and like, you know, like... We're looking at these places, like, how do they have all the Michelin stars?
Right.
And what are they doing that's so different? It's like, we have it here.
Yeah.
You know? And that was one thing that I understood within myself, too, with this past restaurant that I opened up, was I got the work ethic, I got the flavor,
yeah.
I have the creativity, and I have the drive to go out and reach for something like that. So, yeah. So that's something that definitely I would love to, you know, and, you know, just continue to run with chefs like ourselves. To try to bring something like that home to New Mexico,
hey,
man.
We are, and I've got the same compassion and drive, and you know, and had qualms about coming back here, but
yeah.
You know, it's getting my butt kicked financially in California,
yeah.
And everybody can know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back here, I wanted to start out small with the little truck,
mm-hmm.
You know. Now we're moving on to the next evolution, which is Vara, and we're completely happy about it.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it doesn't stop there. Like, you know, I got plans to make that food program sing with the wine program that's already existing, you know, and turn people on to those flavors and let them know that they can get all that, because you can't right now anywhere else. I think the closest is Los Poblanos.
Yeah.
But they don't have their own wines.
Right.
You know, but they got a beautiful space and Los Campos, which had great food. You know, my wife and I ate there a couple months ago.
You know.
But to get that experience with the ambiance, the atmosphere, the wine, and the food.
Right.
You know? Oh, and their distillery as well. So they can do cocktails.
Oh, wow.
You know? So we're already creating a recipe for Albuquerque, and not just Albuquerque, but to hopefully put Albuquerque on the map in an international way. Like, you know what? We're not just green chili and this, you know, like, no food snobbery here. I love green chili.
Yeah.
You know, like, when we met a couple weeks ago, it was at Duran's, you know, and...
You look like you were having a little trouble with that chili.
I was. Hold on. You know, 31 years in the business, and yeah, I was a knucklehead in my youth, so
yeah.
I didn't treat my body as well as I should have. You know, got acid reflux, so I can't handle the hot stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I ordered the red thinking it was going to be less hot than the green.
Oh, no.
But
I was like,
whoo, is it me? Or like, oh, you know?
So, that was awesome. Yeah, I think that actually brought out some more of those creative juices, though, for our conversation then, man.
Yeah, the endorphins were kicking in. And we're just like, okay, got to go, man. So there's no food snobbery, but, you know, I definitely want to impact and elevate whatever I'm doing wherever I'm at, you know, in the highest possible way to let Albuquerque know that you can go to a place and get that there. You know, I guess one of the only places in town that was selling that Lone Mountain Wagyu beef was Marcello's.
Yeah.
You know, and they would sell it by the ounce, which is, you know, totally cool. And they were known as a steakhouse. So I think that some people understood that, you know, and they branched out and reached out to certain people. I'm looking to do the same thing with this Wagyu
dinner. Yeah, yeah.
You know, to say, oh, and it's a locally sourced product.
Absolutely.
It's 40 minutes away.
Right.
How many towns can say that?
Right.
You know, so if you understand the quality of beef that you're putting into your system, you know, and understand that you don't have to have a 1 pound steak to feel like you're getting your money's worth.
Right.
You know, then this could be a product for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, and they ship it.
Yeah.
You just got to go on the website and click and like and whatever. Yeah, and they'll ship it to you.
That's beautiful. And
I know. That's how it's going to come to us. It's going to come shipped.
You know? Don't even got to take the drive.
You got to take the drive.
Well, yeah. Take the drive and go see what it looks like, you know. And
I took my guy Roman, and we went out to the ranch last Monday, and part of the menu was going to be two parts. And here's the thing that I love about Albuquerque and this part of New Mexico is the smell of pine.
Yeah.
You know? So when I thought of paying homage to Albuquerque in New Mexico, I thought of pine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, literally, the Albuquerque's name means white pine and or white asparagus, and the Spanish came up with that because there's an actual Albuquerque, Spain.
Yeah.
And in Albuquerque, Spain, they have these white pines
because
it's in northern Spain, right? So it's what they thought about. So
thought,
I'm going to incorporate pine into this menu somehow. So I went to the ranch, Lone Mountain Wagyu Ranch, you know, in Golden, New Mexico, across the mountains. And my buddy Roman and I harvested some pine sap, you know, for some trees. When you take the sap, then you're not messing with the ecosystem or anything, you know. But so my idea was to take the sap and brew it down into a simple syrup and give it to Doug from Var Wines and say, all right, I want to do Spanish-style sushi, you know, which I'm taking sushi rice and infusing it with saffron and taking some of the killer Wagyu beef, seasoning it, and just torching it right over there so people are going to eat that like nigiri sushi.
Right.
And then take a shot infused with this pine sap from the actual ranch that these cows grow on.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thought is going to elevate this experience to them.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and the other way I was going to incorporate pine was one was a tartar course.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're going to mix their tartar with some pickled asparagus and a raw quail egg and miso and the super fattiness of this beef, you know, and then have some textural differences with popcorn.
Yeah.
And so we're
that's gonna be cool.
We're getting a popcorn maker.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna brew popcorn. And then I made a pine oil from some pine kind of limbs.
Right.
You know, and I'm gonna spritz it on top of the popcorn.
Yeah.
And but subtly, so that you're having it, and you know it, but you don't know it. You know it because you're reading it.
Uh-huh.
But it's gonna be sublime in the sense that you're like, whoa. I just had popcorn with, you know, Wagyu beef tartare. Yeah. What the, you know, what's happening here?
What's happening? What's happening to
was
me?
What, thank you.
Mr. Roboto. Domo arigato.
Oh, give me some, you know, some old school 80s.
Oh, is that what you listen to?
Jams.
What do you listen to while you cook?
Everything.
Yeah.
Like reggae, country, you know, some, you know, old school punk.
Nice.
You know,
some of the Ramones?
Ramones, Clash, you know, American Punk, Minor Threat's my jam. You know, Bad Brains, Eye Against Eye, shout out to all the old punks.
Was it
Skins from Albuquerque, what's up?
Was your brother in punk too?
He was. He was more like a skater punk.
You know so what was funny though?
He hung out with the PVs, and we were the punks and the Skins.
Yeah.
And sometimes we partied and got along, and sometimes we didn't.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we did.
And sometimes we didn't.
I remember working with Sean, and then, you know, he always had his button-up shirt on and stuff. It was one day after work or whatever, he's getting off, and or he's off already. He's over there having a cigarette, and he's just got a short-sleeve shirt on, and I see his tattoo. He has, like, a flaming eyeball or something, right? And I just remember, like, because we're, you know, here in New Mexico, we just talk a lot of shit, you know, in general. Like, and so, like, I remember he's one to talk some shit. And that was my moment that I had on him. I was like, what the hell is that? You got a flaming eyeball on your arm? Hey, what does that even mean?
That's some old Jimmy Trujillo stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's the beginning of kind of tattooing here
in
Albuquerque. Uh-huh. You know, and it was happening, but it was old school, like Cholo Vato tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
black and gray.
Yeah, black and gray, and the masks, and the, you know, the tears.
Cry now, laugh later.
Yeah, yeah,
or
that
something
one,
like
you know,
that. Laugh now, cry later. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Jamie Trujillo in Albuquerque was kind of at the forefront. You know? And so Sean probably got that tattoo when he was, I don't know, 15 or something.
Oh, wow.
You know, maybe 16, you know, and he was living a double life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that later.
We're going to get into that later.
After dark. That's Let's Talk About It After Dark.
That's industry. Let's Talk About It, you know, after six.
After six. Yeah, yeah. I love that, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this has been great. I feel like we could go on forever, man. But I know you're a busy man. And so I kind of want to go into our lightning round that we do here.
Okay, let's do it.
You make it through that, and maybe I might give you one of these cool hats that I got going on over here. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on, I got the same one.
You got to make it through the lightning round first.
If I get the same one you're wearing, then we have to like call and make sure we're not going to be at the same spot.
You'll get this one, man. It's scented already.
We're going to have the same day off, and you're never going to come eat over there. And I still want the hat.
Yeah,
right. All
right,
let's go.
All right, here we go. Blonde or brunette?
Brunette.
Brunettes. All right, man. Always?
Yeah.
Has it always been that?
My wife's a brunette.
Yeah. Who's your favorite chef of all time?
Who do I look up to? Favorite chef? I like some of the Spanish chefs. I like some of the Japanese chefs. I like some of the American chefs. Thomas Keller.
Thomas Keller. Cool.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Tried and true, man.
What would be your last meal?
What would be my last meal? It would have lobster, uni, A5 Wagyu beef.
Nice.
Chile, ceviche. You know, it'd be the most fatty omega 3 and 6 acid proteins I could fit in my body all at one time so I could die happy.
That's beautiful, man. That actually sounds, I mean, that's something like that I had in Japan, actually. Like one of my meals, I was at this restaurant where we cooked right in front of us on a hibachi grill.
What?
A5 Wagyu. And then we had uni. We had Wagyu tartare, you know, with jidori egg that we cracked right over it, a little sesame oil and some salt. Oh, was that Molly?
Yeah, hey.
Ah, you left out red. Molly, Javi's wife, she said, hey, Dom, you left out redheads.
She, She runs the show over Vara. Don't, you know, and she speaks all the languages, so watch out. She's super quick.
I love it.
And she's already stalking anybody who's on this feed.
She's already stalking.
Yeah.
She knows where you live.
Right? It's weird, but you just got to go with it.
What's your worst kitchen nightmare?
Whoa. Is when nothing's going right. And
do you have like a specific moment?
A breakdown with the staff. You know, your grill cook's not feeling it, or he's hungover, or something's happening, and then it feeds on to the pantry cook.
It's toxic.
You know, it's toxic. You know, and all of a sudden nothing's clicking, and you have to stop service and go, stop, wait. You're wacky over there. Your timing's off right over there. I don't want you guys to talk about it. I'm here to tell you that it's off, and let's get it back right now. We've got about, I don't know, 30 seconds to stop and collect ourselves so that we can get back on track, because whatever's happening is not happening.
Yeah.
This is not the way the train is supposed to be riding.
Right.
You know, so that's when you're faced as a chef to go, do I need to stop the entire train right now in service?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the worst. But if you can pick it back up.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's a great feeling.
That's a great feeling, and then you're a good leader, but you know, you gotta, it's like, you gotta make sure all the parts are working every single night, every single day with the staff, and it's a, you know, and that's why the chefs get the respect that they do, you know, because they can lead a team and a crew or themselves or whomever and do that on the daily, on the nightly for years and years.
Yeah, that's why I always ask. Yeah, it's not just making it through. Like, you make it through one service, but then there's always tomorrow. It's like it never ends. You know?
Yeah, are you kidding me? And then you cry and kiss and then you know, hug and drink and then go back and do it again.
And then you go back and do it again.
You know, do your orders and then go back and do it again the next day.
Yeah.
You know, possibly with the same people, maybe with some different. You know, and they love and respect you at the same time. They, you know, probably hate you and don't like your voice, but you know, like. You got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely, man. No, man, you said it right. I've said it multiple times on the show already about, you know, just being able to handle and make that ecosystem cohesive, you know, and kind of synergize and work together. It's tough to take all these different personalities, all these different backgrounds, and
it is,
you know,
it is also too that in our detriment too is that you got to battle all the chain restaurants here in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you have a chance to go eat something local, and that's Whole Foods, not something frozen processed coming from a plant somewhere, you know, because it's bigger portion. Are you going to be able to feed yourself more, or you know, you think it's going to go longer for your buck? In the long run, it's not.
Yeah.
Get the better stuff for your body, you know, you know, and seek out private restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, in this town. If it was another town, I'd say whatever, but, you know, and especially in this town, don't go with the chain all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many, I think, yeah. That's.
Man, I'm from here.
Yeah.
I love Dion's with green chili and ranch. I can eat an obscene amount of ranch. You know, obscene, you know, and, you know, Lotaburger, double Lotaburger cheeseburger with green chili is my nemesis.
Yeah.
You know, but and I love it, but that's only every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the private sector if you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Last question.
All right.
Funniest complaint from a guest.
Oh, that it was so good they weren't expecting it to be that restaurant quality.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which was kind of like a half compliment, half complaint, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, thank you?
Yeah.
We appreciate your business.
That's awesome, man. No, to be getting that kind of a, that's it. You know, we're changing people's perspective of things. You know, they're beginning to look at things a little bit different now, you know, when we started with the food trucks. A while back, and everybody was just like, I didn't know I could get this off of a food truck. I didn't know these type of people ran a food truck. Like, they were interested by it, which brought them back to, and every day they learned a little bit more about us and tied even more onto us.
Yeah, and another thing too, Dom gets it. So he started out small like I did with the food truck, and is going to go into different things,
mm-hmm.
you know, but to me, that's the catalyst right over there. You always start small, you know. Could have came in here and been the executive chef at some restaurant or something like that, you know.
But clean then, up somebody else's mess.
Clean up somebody else's mess or get into some owners that do or don't get it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather work for myself and then go on to a brand that of visionaries that see the same thing happening.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's why we're here.
That's exactly it, man. Yeah. Yeah, it was tough going back out there to San Diego and just picking up a 7,000 square foot restaurant, staff of like 20, 25, you know, and having a separate sushi bar, elevated Japanese cuisine, which was trying to push that out to the public, which just knows Japanese cuisine as just sushi,
right.
You know, and so, yeah, very difficult, but very rewarding to have said that I experienced that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy coming back here and preaching to people is just that fearless attitude. One thing that I learned from my sushi chefs and the Japanese way is Bushido, the way of the samurai. Never show fear, never show weakness.
Oh, yeah.
Never, you know, never back down, you know?
Just, I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, just... Just get up and do it.
You know? As a chef, you have to have that mental edge, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're about. This is your mantra. You know, don't mess with me. Like, I'm here to do this. I'm progress. And if you're, you know, if you're in the way, then, you know, you're in the way. Like, I'm here.
Right.
I'm here with my knives. They're sharp.
Right.
and I'm ready to, like, do shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
well, you made it through the round, through the lightning round.
What?
So, look at that.
Hold on.
One to match mine.
See. Well, I'm going to have to take off this Stetson.
Woo!
Yes.
Always flashing. Always old flashy hobby over here, man. Yes, sir, man. Oh, is it already set to the perfect calibration?
Yeah. What? I think it is.
Oh, man.
You know, I might even have to wear this tonight for the Warriors game.
There you go. There you go. You do got the Warrior
Golden
colors up
State.
There.
Right over there. All you haters. You know? Talk about it later, hater.
Oh, we'll talk about it. You see what he did there? You see what
rhymes.
He did?
We haven't got rhymes. Hey, it's a pleasure.
No, absolutely. No. I do have one more thing.
Okay, what
we're,
is this?
We're introducing this today.
What?
This is the Wheel of Destiny. Here, the Wheel of Destiny. We got all sorts
what
of stuff
categories?
On here.
You can't even see it. It's in Sharpie.
Yeah.
Is this permanent, the Wheel
no,
of Destiny?
No, it's not permanent.
Which way do I go?
Okay, you're going to have to spin it
this way,
your
right?
way, yeah.
Okay.
Spin it hard.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, what are we
gonna have a shotgun beer, man.
That's what it said?
That's what it said.
I'm driving. We'll have to meet up for that later.
All right. We're going to have the shotgun. Okay. Let's spin again.
Okay. One more time. That's a better spin.
Oh, shotgun of beer. That's two of them. You owe me two shotgun of beers at a later day.
Yes. Yeah.
Spin that
well,
one.
Hey. I'm going to the Isotopes game tonight, man. We'll see.
Here,
you know.
Spin it one more time.
Last time. Here we go.
Last time. If it says shotgun of beer,
oh,
man.
Oh, boy. I'll do it.
Then we're going to switch it to just take a shot of the hottest hot sauce.
You better make me some tacos or something, man.
All right. Here we go. Look at the camera and tell everybody why Dia de los Tacos are the best.
Oh. Why? Because... He's a sick Japophile chef, and he loves fish, and he's going to incorporate fish and ingredients from all his travels into the tacos and make them the best here in Albuquerque by far.
Ow!
You know?
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, man.
You too, man. Love you.
Yes,
you know?
We're going to get into the kitchen, and we're
going
to Javi's going to make us a taco.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have something in mind already?
Oh, yeah. Pollo carbon, burnt chicken, but, you know, just... Put a marinade on it that that helps it caramelize quicker. You always use dark meat, you know, so that it seals in that juices right over there. Some sour cream and some salsa, and that's it.
Awesome. And we're also going to take a look at your knife collection because I know you brought your whole knife collection.
Yeah.
Is that even the whole? No, that's not the whole thing because you don't got the tuna knife over
that's
there.
That's about half. The big tuna knife? Yeah.
So all you knife heads, stay tuned. We're going to come back and we're going to check out his knife collection.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to make the taco. And, yeah, you know, we're going to finish out the